Tonight we had the opportunity of sharing four questions that were given to me back, it's been a couple of years ago. They were handed to me in a little note, and I answered those. I took those questions and I researched those questions, and I answered those questions. And so I thought it would be good to come last Sunday night and share those questions with the congregation and give them an opportunity. It does seem to be a little warm in here, doesn't it? Or is it just me? Chris, can you turn on this fan up here? But the Scripture tells us to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be always ready to give an answer to everyone that asks you a reason for the hope that lies within you. And it's important for Christians to be prepared to give answers. The only way that we can be prepared to give answers is by what? Studying God's Word. That's right. Being familiar with God's Word. And the individual that shared these with me has grown up, and he's gone off and what have you. But he's not gone off, but he's... But I'm not going to share his name, but I do want to... We had two more questions that he had asked, and so I thought I might share these last two questions with you, and then I want to go down and talk to you about this Barna report from on a survey of Christians back some years ago. They asked these eight questions of Christians, and I just want to see how we feel about those. And I have some biblical answers to those questions. And if you've got a pen and you want to write the references down there next to that question, that would really be good. But let me share the last two questions that this gentleman had with you tonight, and we'll see how what we think about this. But before we go to prayer, before I go to prayer, let me just say that this is the third question that this gentleman asked me. He says, "How do you feel about people that make fun of you and the Lord? How do you feel about people who make fun of you and the Lord?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to be in your house, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the very presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for even the angels who accompany us each and every day. But above all things, Father, we thank you for eternal life and the salvation that we've gained through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a magnificent and wonderful and marvelous thing you've done for us, Father. And tonight, Lord, as we look forward to your coming, Lord, we can't help but to think about, as Aubrey was sharing with me earlier today, Lord, that Wednesday is Aubrey's facing the toughest surgery he's ever been through, Father. And the possibilities are he knows that he may not even come through that surgery. But, Father, he knows that you await him right on the other side of glory. And so his heart is settled. He has all the confidence in the world that that your will be done in his life, and he's perfectly ready to receive that. But, Father, our heart's desire tonight is, again, Lord, as we shared this morning in the prayer, is that you reach down right now and minister to Aubrey, Father, in a special and a marvelous way, Father, and that it would be impossible for anybody to say that his recovery or his restoration was a coincidence. Father, we pray that you'd reach down and minister to those arteries that are clogged. Lord, that you'd just clean them up even now, Father, as we lift him up to you. Father, we pray for Linda as well, and we ask you, Lord, to bless her, comfort her, give her peace. Father, we know that she's not bearing the physical, but she's certainly bearing the emotional. And so, Lord, we just ask you to minister to her as well. Tonight, Father, each one of us that's come tonight, no doubt, knows somebody who is hurting, who's facing a terrible sickness. Father, I think of Dawn, Father, and ask you to bless her, Father, in a marvelous way to where whatever the treatment is that she has to have, Father, we pray that that she would be healed and that the cancer would be gone. And then again, too, Father, we would not hesitate to lift her up to you in a special way and ask you, Father, to bless her in a marvelous and wonderful way as well as to reach down and touch her and restore her body. Father, so many of our family members have sick brothers and sisters. Lord, We ask for Aubrey and what we ask for Dawn. Father, we ask for every one of our members who are suffering in any way, shape, or form physically. Emotionally, Father, we pray for them as well, and we ask you to minister to them. Father, tonight I pray for Martha. I know, Lord, that she's, whatever she's done, Lord, we know that you're able to take care of that as well. And so I lift her up to you in a special way. Tonight, Father, we just ask your blessing. We pray that the Holy Spirit minister to our hearts, and that as we share tonight, Lord, that it and as we leave your house, Father, we can say it's been good to be in God's house this week. Father, bless your people, bless your word, bless your servant in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So the third question, well, for those of you who may not have been here, I just want to read, well, I don't have those other two questions, but I did bring the last two. So how do you feel about people that make fun of you and the Lord? Amen. Amen. Yeah. How do you feel? How do you feel about people that make fun of you and the Lord? And Paul says we ought to rejoice over those things. Janet? Mm-hmm. I know the entertainment industry has a field day making fun of the Lord Jesus Christ, making fun of Christians. And the first thing I think that the Lord calls us to do is to pray for those people. They're lost. And they need salvation. And even though they may not be they may be an enemy, we can make a friend of them by praying for them and the Lord move upon them and convict their hearts, and that they'll be open to the gospel message and come into the kingdom of God. Anybody else have an observation about that question? That's right. That's right. That's right. And that's as Charlie had shared, Paul has told us that when that happens, we ought to rejoice, because we are standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ. If for some reason you've never been persecuted in any way, you know, there's mild persecution, there's heavy persecution. Mild persecution is just somebody chuckling. And like this, how do you feel about people that make fun of you? Making somebody to make fun of me because I happen to be a Christian, well, that's mild. That's mild persecution. Lord, I pray. I thank the Lord every day I bet you not one of us has been through any intense persecution, and yet intense persecution is taking place all over the world against Christians. And we are just wonderfully blessed to be here in the United States of America, where the persecution that we get is, for the most part, mild. And yet many times, you know, we crumble under the mild persecution. If this gentleman, because of some fun making about his relationship to the Lord Jesus, if he's going to crumble under that, then he's never going to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. The more we stand for the Lord Jesus, the more we speak out on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, the stronger we become in our faith, and the bolder we become in our testimony and in our sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. This past week, Martha and I were being interviewed by this particular lady, and as we were being interviewed, she said, "And you're a minister, and of what denomination are you a minister of?" There happened to be a lull for a time, and I said, "Well, I'm a Free Will Baptist minister," and she said, "Well, Free Will Baptist, I don't know." And so I began to explain to her what Free Will Baptist was all about, and I told her, I said, "You know that one of the things that every human heart or every soul wants to do is to live forever. You know, none of us want to die. None of us want to die. We want to live forever, and the Lord Jesus has made it possible for us to live forever. And she says, "Well, I don't think I want to live forever. I want to enjoy this life, and I want to have the good things that I can have out of the life. I just want to have a good time, and I don't necessarily care that I live forever." And Martha quickly interjected. She said, "Well, sweetheart, you are going to live forever." She says, "You are going to live forever." And she says, "You can either live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, or you can live for all eternity in a tormenting hell." And my goodness, boy, I thought to Mark, I mean, she was quick. She was quick to let her to get on that. And so, you know, the more that you share Christ, the more bold you become in your sharing. And not only that, the Holy Spirit will introduce questions in your heart that you need to research in God's Word, because the Holy Spirit may be preparing you to give an answer for that particular question that He's put in your heart. And you research it, you have the answer, and lo and behold, it may not be a week, and it may not be a month, it may not be even that year, but down the road, somebody's going to ask you a question, and you're going to be there with the answer. Amen. That's so true. I was given an assignment. In the Marine Corps, I was stationed aboard an aircraft carrier in the Pacific, and with the Marine Detachment there. And I was a sergeant, and no sooner had I stepped on board that I was promoted to staff sergeant. And staff sergeants eat in a different area than sergeants and below. Staff sergeants and chiefs and Navy chiefs and E6s and above eat in a different mess hall on the ship. And there were a couple. I mean, there was 3,500 sailors aboard there and 55 Marines, and it was a busy place. But they had a number. They had a couple of places where you could eat, but the staff ate in a different area. And the first sergeant. He was a black first sergeant. First sergeant Lay. And when I went to dinner with him on board the ship, the first thing he did when he sat down at that table was to bow his head and ask God's blessing. And when he bowed his head and he asked God's blessing, he didn't bow his head and say, "Thank you for this meal, amen." I mean, he began to pray, and as he began to pray, I was embarrassed because I had my head bowed and all that, but I thought to myself, I don't know if I want to sit down at the table with him again, because his prayer was deep. But did you know it was a convicting prayer? I just about bet that he knew that I had no relationship with God, and when he began to pray, he prayed me a sermon. And it was he took that opportunity to do that. And I find myself, and you probably have found yourself doing that too, when you're sharing with somebody that there's other people around, maybe you're sharing with one person. This one person may not care one way or the other whether you finish telling them what you want to share with them about the scriptures, but there's other people who are standing around who are unrelated, but you can tell that they're listening in. But First Sergeant Lay, I believe without a doubt, I mean, right there at that time, just like you said, I was convicted. I mean, I was convicted, and for the rest of my tour, 2 years on board that carrier, I became aware of the fact that there are people that really have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I wanted to get closer to that. And so it is. It's one. I mean, if somebody makes fun of you about your relationship to Christ and you back down, my, you've missed a wonderful opportunity to stand firm for the Lord Jesus. Went on as full-time ministers. Amen. I can't imagine Top Lay. We call first sergeants and sergeant majors and we call them top because they're the top of the rank. But I think he'd really be surprised to know that I'm serving in the ministry today full time. But it was his. He planted a seed, and others came along and watered, and I made my commitment to Christ. The scripture I have. Anybody else have anything about that particular question? Maybe you've had an experience where you too have been listening in on a conversation and found that you learned something about the Lord, and the person that was sharing it didn't even know you were listening, or you were sharing and you know somebody else picked up on what you were saying. The answer I gave to him comes from Matthew chapter 5. Verses 44 through 48. Jesus says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same?" Isn't that true? How do people know that we're different? How would people know that you're different? The way you live your life, the way you respond to hostility, the way you respond to persecution, the way you respond to tribulation. And Jesus says, if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than the others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Well, what does that mean? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Well, let me tell you something. God loved us before we ever loved him. Isn't that true? So the possibility is that we can love our brother to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Matthew 5:12, the Bible says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad," the Lord Jesus says, "for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:12, "And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it." We suffer it. No sense in going back and, you know, throwing rocks. And then question four was, what about rewards? What about rewards? What about rewards in heaven? The Bible says that we will receive rewards in heaven. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." This verse right here was an eye-opener for me back when I first came to the Lord Jesus, when I was just beginning to study the scripture. I read this verse, and it made it clear to me that without faith, it's impossible to please him. You know, we always think about what it is. Even pagans wonder what they can do to please this Creator. They don't realize that they haven't fully absorbed the understanding of what Christ has already done for them. The world wants to know, what can I, you know, it's like the rich man that came to Christ and said, "Good master, what can I do to inherit eternal life?" And so this scripture says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. So it doesn't make any difference. You have to have faith that God exists, that he's there. And if we don't have faith that he's there, it doesn't make any difference what you try, what you go about doing, trying to please some God that you can't see or that you have doubts about that's even there. First of all, we have to settle it in our own heart that he is there. What about rewards? Hebrews says, but without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God intends one of these days to reward work done for Him. It doesn't sound right, but that's, I mean, it doesn't, I'm thankful just to have a home in glory. And it's exciting. It's a real blessing when somebody that you're sharing with comes to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, comes to realize that God has set them free, comes to realize that they have a home in glory too, and rejoices in knowing the truth about life. I mean, that is a blessing in itself, isn't it? Have you witnessed that lately? First Corinthians 3, verses 11 through 15. I shared this at the senior citizens luncheon. 1 Corinthians 3:11-15 says, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, or be revealed. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." What do you think that's saying? If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The Catholic Church teaches that there's such a thing as purgatory. And purgatory is a place that Christians go when they die, if they die with unconfessed sin. You know, a Catholic family will always cry out for the priest to get to their loved one before they die so they can have their last rites, their last confessional, their closing confessional. And yet, Christians who are not of the Catholic faith believe that we've given our lives to Christ already, and that Christ has already covered our sins, and that we are going to stumble and fall, we're going to make mistakes. But when in fact that death angel comes and knocks on our door, we don't need the priest there sitting by for us to confess sins. We're going home to be with the Lord, because God has already purged our sins from us simply by our walk of faith with Him. But the Catholic Church teaches that if you have unconfessed sin, you go then you go into this state of purgatory where you burn, you know, this burn. You don't burn, but all around you there's a burning, and it's burning, and it's burning, and it's burning off all that sin that you've taken with you on the other side of death, until such time as once it's all burned off, then the Lord opens up the door and brings you into heaven. Right. Amen. Right. And the reason I was sharing with you about the Catholic Church and what they believe about this particular passage, they believe that purgatory is a place that's been established based on this piece of Scripture. But this piece of Scripture is talking about what? Sin or rewards? Is it talking about sin or rewards? Let me read it to you. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Let me tell you what I believe about this. And I believe that the Bible teaches that at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the brightness of His coming will slay the wicked. The brightness of His coming will burn away every false work that we've ever done for Him. You know, if I stand up here and preach a message, my heart's not in it, and I know that my heart's not in it, And I know that I haven't accomplished one thing today for the Lord Jesus Christ, but I go out that door and in my heart I think, well, I've accomplished something for Christ. Well, that's wood, hay, and stubble, and that's going to be burned away. That's not even going to stand after God changes me and I'm able to stand in His presence. All of that's going to be burned away. Whatever we do for a selfish reason, whatever work we do for a selfish reason, is not going to stand the test. Is not going to make it through that fire. Is not going to make it through that light. And that's one of the reasons that the Scripture says it is possible for us, even though we're saved, we come into the presence of the Lord. We have nothing to show for what He's done for us. We're saved, but we don't have anything to show. So if our Christian life, as we've given our hearts to Christ and made our commitment to the Lord Jesus, the Bible teaches us that it's possible to quench the Holy Spirit. There's a difference in spiritual Christians and carnal Christians. There's a carnal Christian lives for the flesh, yet he's still a Christian. It's hard to understand that, but it's true. That person still has a home in glory because of what Christ did. They still profess Christ. And yet their work is not for Him at all. Their work is for show. Their work is for some other reason. Is to bring honor and glory not to the Lord, but to self. And all of that work that's done to bring honor and glory to self, at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be washed away. And you're going to be standing there with either... I hope that we're standing there with some kind of gold, silver, or precious stone that we can bring back to the Lord Jesus and say, "This is, Lord, this I give to you." The reward that He gives us, Revelation says that we'll bow down and we'll push those rewards right back to Him, because without Him we can do what? Nothing. You're right. The Scripture says that each man, according to his own works, will be rewarded. And I don't know what that is. I don't have any idea. But I'll tell you what I like to think. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said that if the stars came out only once a year, and we knew the date that they come out, how many people do you think would go out and look at them? Want to see them? A lot of people. Because it's really beautiful, but they come out every day. And we take and how often do we look up at the stars, at the magnificent beauty of the heavens at night? Well, we just take it for granted. But I believe this, and I believe it with all my heart. And I may be dead wrong, but I'll be home with the Lord Jesus anyway. And I'm looking for, when God lights up the universe, I'll tell you, there's going to be a lot of blue marbles throughout the universe, thousands, millions of them. The universe is unending. And I believe that one of the rewards that you and I will have I like to travel. I would just love to travel throughout the universe and just visit one of God's creations right after another. You know, it's like going through some kind of a... Well, not, let me just say Disney World for the children. I used it one time for the children when I was teaching when I was a youth minister over at Trinity. That you can go through Disney World And every turn you make, there's something there. There's something there. Well, I believe the universe. I believe when God lights up the universe, I believe we're going to be able to travel throughout the universe. And I believe we're going to be visited and maybe even be put in in charge of one of those planets. You know, we're going to reign throughout the universe. I believe that. So I don't know what the reward's going to be, but I do know this, that it won't be a reward that I feel like I have truly accomplished. It'll be something that I know I have accomplished because Christ has given me the strength to do that, given me the spirit to minister. What's the sad thing is that God has given you all of these tools and yet we do nothing with them. God has given you all these tools and we do nothing with them. But the scripture says our works will be tried by fire. And I believe it is this very appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether in the rapture or at the second coming, where God will burn away all this wood, hay, and stubble. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." And so here again, we're talking about Christians whether they're Christians before the rapture or after the rapture or at the second coming is not clear. But now, I'll just say this too. At the rapture of the church, God's going to change us. We're not going into the presence of God in these bodies that we're in right now. These bodies, just like Enoch, will have to be changed, translated, changed, and we'll be called up to be with the Lord in the air. So we'll be coming into his presence. And I don't think we're going to be, when we come into his presence, we're going to be bringing any bad baggage. I think whatever we've done for selfish self is going to be left behind. And whatever we've done for the glory of the Lord Jesus will shine for all eternity. Lay up treasures for yourselves in heaven. That's what Jesus said. Don't lay treasures up on earth. I mean, it's good to be, to plan and have a budget and so forth and so on, and even do your investments or whatever, plan for the future. But let's not forget that we need to lay up treasure in heaven as well. Jesus said in Revelation 22:12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Any comments? Yes, it does. Give him. That's right. That's right. He's. That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, those two questions have taken us to almost 8 minutes till the hour. What you can do is you can take those questions with you tonight, and we'll visit those maybe Wednesday night and share with those. I do appreciate each one of you to come tonight. I appreciate the choir. It just makes all the difference in the world. And I know the choir is busy. I know that they have things to do as well. But getting the services off without a choir is kind of, it's like getting on a buckboard without a horse. It ain't going no place. It seems like it's not going any place because the choir has a wonderful way of bringing us into a spiritual I don't know what a spiritual attitude. Yeah, thank you, Charlie. Amen. Well, let's just hold those questions till Wednesday night, and I'm going to ask Barbara if she'll come, and she can play softly, and we'll sing a closing hymn. And if you have something on your heart that you want to bring to the altar, we'll certainly move out of the way and allow you to come.